You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome in to Gym Class here in KGYM as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me from his home on the southwest side coming up in a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass today. Great show for you. John Bonenkamp is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a peek at Iowa Rutgers coming up tomorrow night. We'll get his views on everything that's gone on in the past 48 hours. And talk college hoops with John coming up at around 3:30 today. Iowa State, Texas Tech coming up tonight for you. And that is a big one as far as the national landscape and the Big 12 Conference is concerned. We'll have it for you tonight coming up for you right here on KGYM as we'll get that thing started on 1600 AM along with 102.3 FM coming up tonight for you. And I believe that is a 6 o'clock pregame and a 7 o'clock tip-off. I may be wrong on that. It might be 7 and 8. Let me look at that here. Yeah, 7 o'clock with the pregame and 8 o'clock with the tip-off down in Lubbock, Texas. We'll talk about that as well as talk about what has unfolded after we set sail last night as far as Iowa football and the diversity committee and whatnot. Love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Gym Class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. As I bring in Mark Dukes on this Tuesday afternoon, enjoy the 38-degree temperatures. It's starting to go downhill from what I understand tomorrow. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, and I will enjoy it while it lasts. We've also got the next round of the NFL playoffs, and that allowed me to establish the games for this week's pick six. That coming up on Friday.
Who won last week?
You did, Scott.
Thank you.
You were perfect until last night.
And you got off the lunch watch last night.
I did indeed. I took some flyers early. I took some road underdogs. That didn't pan out well.
Sometimes that happens. You got to take some swings, man. When you're trying to play catch up, right? You got to do it. I completely understand what you did.
Well, you can swing for the long ball or strike out, one of the two. And I largely struck out at 1-5.
Yeah, but the one was a big one. We'll talk about the NFL. Didn't get much of a chance to talk about it yesterday. Of course, last night, the Rams took care of business in a big way over the Arizona Cardinals. And now all kinds of questions about Kyler Murray's future. Should he have played baseball with the Oakland Athletics? Is he really that good a quarterback? Well, he was pretty good when the Cardinals had the best record in the National Football League. Just past the halfway mark of the regular season anyway. Cardinals just weren't playing very good football down the stretch. And tell you what, the LA Rams are as talented as any team out there. And we'll talk more about this coming up in a bit, Mark. But tell you, when the LA Rams got it all going with that defense, and if Matt Stafford throws the ball like he did last night and they get the running from now Cam Akers, a healthy Cam Akers, along with Sony Michel, that is a dangerous Los Angeles Rams football team.
Yeah, I thought at various times this year the Rams might be the most talented team in the NFL and may still be. I don't know. But that defense is scary, and it showed last night. Stafford didn't need a huge game. He had a really nice game, but he didn't need a huge game, and I think that's one of the keys. Take the pressure off him, let him do what he can do, and now we go into the next round, and I'd have to say the Rams and the Bills scare me more than anybody.
I second you as far as the Buffalo Bills are concerned, as Bills Mafia gets ready to come to the great heartland this Sunday night. We'll have games for you coming up this weekend, by the way, the NFL playoffs, and Iowa State basketball coming up this weekend as well, right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Need to start off by putting a bow on everything. Talked about it a great deal on both programs yesterday about the diversity committee and the Gazette article and all of everything that came out resulting from that. After we left the air last night, more was divulged. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register got a copy of the Kirk Ferentz letter that was sent to parents and basically letting them know exactly what the situation was as far as his words are concerned, as far as that committee and what it had done and what it could look like in the future. There was just a lot of back and forth. He said, they said, whatever said last night after 6 o'clock in the evening. It was interesting to follow, that's for sure.
Yeah, and Kirk's letter, I think a couple things about that. I wished he had included some of that information and the email sent last week to the Gazette and the Athletic, among others, regarding his decision to quote unquote dissolve the committee. If you read that email once again, Kirk later said he's going to restructure the committee, but this sentence, he says he's going to dissolve the committee, and these are four important words, as it stands currently. That was in the email to the Gazette, the Athletic, and others. As it stands currently, kind of, opens a window, but dissolving the committee, the preceding two words were ominous. As it stands currently tells me that, as he said in the next sentence, he was going to restructure. Now, in the letter, it was a two-page letter to parents, and he thanked the committee for all its work. Kirk Ferentz said several members of the committee had stepped away in December, precipitating his decision to quote-unquote dissolve the committee. Maybe Kirk could have used better words in terms of dissolve, reorganize, what have you. He said much of the information out there was incorrect, and he kind of wanted to set the record straight. I do wish Kirk had, again, included some of this information in the original email to the Gazette, the Athletic, and others, because I think it would have helped clarify the situation.
You're right.
Believe Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, and I have no reason not to. That was the email that was that went out on the 11th, which was a week ago today. So a week ago on Tuesday, last Tuesday, if you will. And I think I'm with you. I think a little bit better wording might have helped. But it got to a point that this thing grew into a mountain, basically. And I'm not sure it needed to grow into a mountain, but that's 2022. And it did. And hopefully now I think there's a little bit more resolution as far as this is concerned. Not quite as much uproar and upheaval today. And I think that's probably very good news. Give us all a little bit of a time to catch our breath and step back and take a break a little bit.
Well, I'm to the point right now that I just want to see what Kirk Ferentz does in terms of reorganizing, restructuring this committee. It apparently will involve players who have graduated more recently and recently connected with the program and familiar with some of the issues that were out there. I think one of the sad parts as a journalist is a lot of folks were bashing Rob Howe and Pat Hardy for their stances and their stories, that were out there. And I kind of came to both defenses last night on Twitter. I decided, listen, I may not align with Hardy and Howe on every issue, but I respect the hell out of them because they worked their asses off to bring content in Iowa sports. And you don't have to agree with them, but I think you do have to appreciate all the hard work that they do. And, you know, to say that either has a narrative or tries to take this side or that, that's your opinion. You know, Scott, it reminds me when I was at the Gazette and Mike Halas was just starting out as a columnist, and I would sometimes hear, God, I don't like Halas. I disagree with him. Why do you even have him in the paper? And my response was, do you read him?
And exactly.
Oftentimes, most times, they would say, well, yeah, I read him. Exactly. That's all I needed to hear.
Yep, exactly. 319-366-1600 if you would like to comment a little bit more on day number three. As far as that story is concerned, and like we said, I think it's not certainly put to bed, because we need to know that this committee is going to be evolving and out there in a new way. There is no doubt about that, and that's what we said yesterday. I think that was going to be the case, and according to the email that Kirk sent out on the 11th, we were right about that. And whatever way, shape, and form this new committee takes, then pick up the ball and continue to move forward as far as equality and justice and what have you, as far as the Iowa football program is concerned. So hopefully, all of the vitriol is behind us as far as this story is concerned. As we mentioned, we've got college basketball coming up for you tonight. Iowa State and Texas Tech. Some news out of the Big 12. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. We'll have it at 7 o'clock for you, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM coming up tonight. Big game as far as the Big 12 is concerned in a early fashion. Of course, this is the second meeting of the year already between Iowa State and Texas Tech. As they went at it in the, I believe, the first game. Was it first or second game of the Big 12? It was. How can we forget it? It was an absolute beauty. Iowa State made two field goals in the second half and won the basketball game. May have been. It was the exact opposite of Purdue-Illinois from yesterday afternoon, if you had a chance to watch that one. But Iowa State is not going to give it back. The Cyclones did get the victory as far as that game is concerned, and they will try for the sweep, which would be big because if there's a tiebreaker, obviously Iowa State would have that advantage there. Iowa State right now 2-3. They're tied with Oklahoma and Okie State right now in a very, very crowded Big 12. Kansas is 3-1 on top. TCU is 2-1. No one is talking about, you know, TCU at this point. Nobody is. And they're only 53. They didn't play a great non-conference schedule, but they're off to a 2-1 start as far as the league is concerned. K-State is on the bottom, and they are 1-4 right now as far as the league. And they're still not a bad basketball team. Everyone in the Big 12 in the top 75 as far as the net rankings are concerned, and you've got right now four teams in the top 20, top 17 in the Big 12 conference. So Texas Tech at 3-2, if they win, that puts them two games up on Iowa State at this present time anyway. It's never too early to start thinking about seeding for conference tournaments.
Yeah, that first Texas Tech game was sandwiched between Iowa State losses to Baylor and Oklahoma. Of course, it broke a long Big 12 losing streak for the Cyclones. And it was described as a rock fight by some players, basically because of the defense that was played and the bricks that were thrown up on the offensive end. But Texas Tech favored by 8 points tonight at the Elite Sportsbook. Our poll question today at KGYradio.com has to do with this game. Well, Iowa State pull off the upset tonight in Lubbock. Yes or no? Thanks to Steve Anderson, a great Cyclone. I mean a Hawkeye fan.
Oh,
there in Iowa City. Thanks, Steve.
Steve on line one. Yeah. 319-366-1600. Cyclone fans, what do you think about your chances tonight? Now, in the first go-around, Texas Tech was without several players, including their top two scorers. They were going through a bout of sickness and COVID at that point. They will be in the lineup coming up this evening. And it will play a difference, no doubt about that. Usually, whatever they're calling it these days, used to be United Spirit Arena in Lubbock, doesn't get a ton of people in there, but it is a tough place to go play. Lubbock is just in the middle of nowhere, and it's tough to get to from anywhere, and it's just a tough, tough place to get to and a tough place to win. So we'll see what Iowa State can do coming up this evening. 319-366-1600. Also, as far as the Big 12 is concerned, news coming out today as far as the Big 12 and more of a college football situation. Dennis Dodd, earlier this afternoon on CBSSports.com, reporting that the Big 12 is engaged in talks to go to divisional play starting in 2023. And I think we all kind of could see this coming down the road. There's no way with 12 or 14 teams. It could be 14 teams coming up in 2023. But then after that, Oklahoma and Texas are going to move on to the Southeastern Conference. There are several plans on the board right now as far as the Big 12 is concerned, and they all have to do with, is Oklahoma and Texas going to stay through the contract for the TV deal that the Big 12 has right now? If that is the case, according to Dennis Dodd, his projection on what the Big 12 is going to look like in 2023 in their divisional alignment, they're going to go with a north-south look, according to this projection. The Big 12 North with Iowa State, as you can probably guess. Cyclones are the most northern port as far as the Big 12 is concerned. The North would look like this: Cincinnati, BYU, Iowa State, Kansas, K-State, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. And, of course, Oklahoma obviously would be leaving the fray after 2023. The Big 12 South then would have your Baylor, Houston, TCU, Texas, Texas Tech, Central Florida, and West Virginia. It'd basically be a good portion, five of the Southwest Conference, and then Central Florida and West Virginia. Let's just make it official, Mark. Bring back the wishbone, and let's run Southwest Conference football again without all the cheating.
There you go. Yeah, this is, according to Dodd's story, to begin in 2023. And as you mentioned, it assumes that Oklahoma and Texas are going to stay in the Big 12 through 2025, which is the expiration of the television contract. Those two teams would owe millions and millions and millions of dollars should they decide to break that contract and leave early to the SEC. I suppose it's possible, but right now things are being drawn up, apparently, according to Dodd's story and quoting Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, that divisions are in the works. And according to his projections, I think from a football standpoint, the divisions look pretty balanced at this point. I don't know which one will be tougher, do you?
Well, it depends on what's going to happen in Lawrence. That's pretty much in the Sunflower State, Kansas and Kansas State. And I think Iowa State is pretty much a given that they're going to have a very competitive team each and every year now. BYU is a very, very good football program. We know at Cincinnati, they were in the playoff this year. They're in the north. K-State was very up and down this year. Chris Kleiman trying to get that next step taken in Manhattan. And then, you know, Okie State's going to be around for the duration. And Mike Gundy's not going anywhere. It's pretty balanced. I mean, Houston is decent. What's TCU going to do without Gary Patterson now? Is Texas Tech going to try to take it? In my opinion, they did a good job. And it's geographically based, I know, but this is pretty balanced, in my opinion.
Yeah, and once again, these are Dodd's projections. Nothing official from the Big 12, but an interesting read nonetheless. Sam, our good friend on the text line, weighing in. I was at lunch once, and a friend of a friend compared Lubbock to Iowa City, and I was offended. And I've never even been to Lubbock. I haven't been to Lubbock. Do they have a Cracker Barrel there? I don't know.
Apparently, we almost had one here.
If you've ever been to Lubbock, let us know what it's like.
I would have enjoyed a Cracker Barrel in town. I would have. 319-366-1600. I have not been to Lubbock. I know people that have been to Lubbock, and I don't put down cities or anything like that. My point was it's very hard to get to Lubbock. That was my point. Very difficult. It's kind of situated in the middle of nowhere. So it could be the garden spot of Texas. It's just tough to get there. That's my point. Fair enough?
You can't fly into there, or I don't know.
You got to take a couple of flights to get to Lubbock. You're not direct flying into Lubbock, from what I understand.
Well, Lubbock's a much bigger place than Iowa City. Lubbock has 250,000 people, its latest population count. It's a pretty good site. I mean, it's bigger than Cedar Rapids.
There you go. It's it's not a quaint little town. It's
hard to get to. Right?
It's hard to get to. It's hard to get to. That was my point. 319-366-1600.
I'd much rather go to Leuchenbach, Texas.
Yeah, thank you, Waylon and Willie, and the rest of the boys. Yeah. Lubbock Chamber of Commerce on line one. We'll get to the NFL coming up before 4 o'clock. We're going to talk to John Bonenkamp here in just a couple of moments and talk with him about college basketball and other topics here in just a little bit. We'll do that after we check in with Mark with an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're located on First Avenue, southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's. What do we have on today's scoreboard?
Tomorrow night's Big Ten men's basketball game, Minnesota at Penn State, has been postponed because of lingering COVID issues in the Gopher program. Of course, Penn State scheduled to play at Iowa Saturday afternoon. Last night, the Marion School Board approved the construction of a new football stadium on the high school property out there, a $6.4 million project that will a lot of folks out there in Marion very excited about. They are the Wolves. Finally, Jake Hilmer, former Northland star, has been named the Northern Sun South Division Player of the Week in men's basketball. In two games, Hilmer averaged 25.5 points, 5.5 assists. And Scott, they got a pretty nice team up there in Fayette.
Yes, they do.
16-2.
They have a really good team. Best kept secret in the state of Iowa are the Peacocks of Upper Iowa in men's basketball. Joe Smolt and Hilmer, and they've got guys that can fill it up, and they get up and down for Coach McCowan. So,
is Jackson Jones, is he still up there?
Yes, he is. From Xavier.
Yeah,
he can shoot it from those corners for those threes. Big night of high school basketball coming up tonight around the area and around the state. Myself and Ryan Lersman are going to be out at Prairie. Got a good one, number 4 Prairie. And Iowa City West would be number 11 if you extend the poll out. We said yesterday we don't play that game, though. So they're just outside the poll, and they have two losses. Prairie with one loss. 7:15, 7:20 tonight. CRMLivesports.com will have it for you. So we encourage you to tune in coming up this evening again on our brand new website at CRMLivesports.com. We'll take a break, come back. John Bonenkamp will join us. We're going to get a weather update and a break, and we'll come back and talk with John after this here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
With a check of your weather first forecast, I'm meteorologist Nathan Santo Domingo. Patchy fog to start the day, otherwise partly cloudy and a bit warmer, high near 34. A powerful front arrives around 10 o'clock tonight, sending temperatures down into the single digits. Blowing snow possible as well, with northwest winds as high as 35 miles an hour. Wind chills on Wednesday well below zero. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Bet on more than the final score with one game parlay at BetMGM. One Game Parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create your best parlay before the game starts. New to BetMGM? Sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 with bonus code HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N. You can place One Game Parlay bets on football, basketball, and more. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that you can redeem for room nights and dining at any MGM resort nationwide. Try One Game Parlay today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Iowa only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
When it comes to choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, Blue is affordable. Blue is convenient. Blue is staying healthy. And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one plans including medical and drug coverage, plus health benefits like dental, vision, hearing, fitness, and more. Some available at $0 premiums. Compare plans at WellmarkAdvantage.com. Wellmark Advantage Health Plan is a PPO and an HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Wellmark Advantage Health Plan depends on contract renewal.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
3:33 back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Great to have you aboard here today. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is our phone line as well, if you would like to get in touch with us here on the program on this Tuesday edition. Iowa State and Texas Tech coming up tonight at 7 o'clock for you on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. Going to talk college hoops with you. The man with the longest job title in America set to join us right now from iowacollegehoops.com. Hawkeye Nation, the AP. He may be a writer as well for the brand new How I Met Your Father series coming up.
It's possible.
It is possible. By the way, well, I'm not going to get into that, but at any rate, John Bonenkamp, kind enough to join us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class program. And how's your Tuesday?
My Tuesday's just going fine. It's a nice day out. We know it's going to get cold here in the next day or so. So I made sure to get out and enjoy it a little bit here. So
yeah, find the bottom of our driveway. So that's what we're doing anyway.
That's the one you can get some of this stuff melted off before it all gets cold.
Yes, and before it ices up again. No doubt about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's been a tumultuous last 48 hours in and around the Hawkeye football team. Have we kind of seen the bow on top of this, or do you anticipate any more fallout coming from this particular story?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I mean, I think what's done is done, and I think that you know, I'll be curious to see, you know, if and, you know, when this committee gets put back together. I'll be curious to see who's on it. And I think we need to know that. I think that was one of the things that I found really interesting about this committee, is you didn't know who a lot of the people were that were on it until, you know, started reading some of the stories here from the last couple of days. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see how this kind of evolves and who is on this committee and where it goes from here. I mean, yeah, it's, like you said, it's been an interesting couple of days, and you know, it's just one of those things that happens. It's just one of those things that just kind of is taken over the off season when it comes to this football program.
My opinion, John, was Kirk Ferentz probably could have handled this a bit better in his original email, in terms of using certain words and not including some of the things he wrote to parents. Did the parents' letter help or hurt, or clarify or not?
I think it did help clarify a little bit, but yeah, I mean, there were just some things that I didn't like how it, you know, I didn't like how it was handled, you know, by, I mean, I thought it could have been handled a little bit better from the football program and that sort of thing. And I think that, it was kind of an out of the blue thing, and it kind of, you know, shocked me when the first story dropped on Sunday, and you were kind of interested to see where it would go. But now when you kind of have an idea on what has happened, what's transpired, and you know, what's come out here in the last, you know, 24 hours, I think you get a better idea of what's going on. And you know, I think there was such a rush to judgment early on, and you could see it, you know, with some of the national writers retweeting it and all this. Now that it's been kind of clarified, it's like, okay, now let's see where this goes now moving forward, see what sort of progress can be made, and see what the committee looks like moving forward.
And it sounds like the committee has, the recommendations have been accepted, they have helped, and that's the bottom line. That's the best thing about this.
Exactly, and I mean, that's one of the things. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, everything they said, he just rejected, oh, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, you can see, you know, and for those of us that have covered the team, been around this team in the last year and a half, 2 years really, you can see, you know, and listening to the players and you know, and seeing the posts from parents on social media and that sort of thing, you see that progress has been made, and you can see that there's a different, you know, in hearing from them, you can tell there's a different atmosphere within the program, and I think, you know, that has to keep continuing, and I think Kirk Ferentz is serious in that, and I think that now, you know, like I said, you know, I was really interested in, you know, looking at this committee when we looked who was on it, and I mean, there were guys, you know, that are in the NFL where those guys aren't going to be able to do anything in the fall. You know, I mean, they're occupied, they've got a job to do, and it was like, you know, so it's like, when I started to read this whole thing, I was like, you know, why are some of these people on the committee? They're not going to be able to devote the time that I think you need. And I think that's what's going to happen moving forward, is you're going to see some people on this committee that can really take a serious look, you know, within the program, and they can take a recent look at the program too, because I know there was, you know, Kirk has said wanting to get some recent players, that sort of thing. So I think that's where I think a lot of things will be different here in the next few months and going down the road.
John, let's touch on basketball a bit. I want to go back to the Indiana game. I wondered your opinion on Iowa's second half against the Hoosiers. Of course, Chris Murray had a big game, but is that second half maybe Iowa's best of the year?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at from an overall play and the way, you know, and you go back to the way that half started, and you get the Joe Toussaint forcing the jump ball and the turnover right away, and that really set a tone. I mean, I think that was, you know, from a toughness standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, you know, from making, you know, just the making the plays. You're right. I think that was probably their best half of the year. And I think that gave them a lot of momentum that they carried into the Minnesota game. And they played well early on, and then you kind of had that stretch there in the second half where it looked like the game might get away from them. And then to make plays down the stretch there too. So I think this was a really key two-game stretch for them, because I think it showed that this is a good team, and it shows that they can make the plays when they need to make them, and that's what you're going to need to do in the next few weeks.
True. John Bonenkamp joining us here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:39. When we look back at the end of the year, perhaps how big was Keegan Murray's three-pointer just under a minute to go up at Williams Arena going to be for this basketball team?
Huge. Yeah. I mean, you felt it. You felt it when he hit that shot, because, I mean, you knew right then, okay, they're going to win this game. That's just how that game felt. And, again, if they let that game get away after having that lead in the second half, you know, then the doubts start to creep in and within the team and outside of the team and all that. For him to make that shot, that was just huge. And it shows what kind of player he has become, that it's like, hey, give me the ball. I want the ball. And I think that was a big moment for this program in this season, for him to hit that shot, like you said.
John, I know you wrote about Iowa's depth, and mm-hmm. I think really Fran McCaffrey prides himself in that, not only this year, but other years. What was your big takeaways on depth for Iowa?
You know, one of the things that I've really liked in what he's been able to do is he's not afraid to use anybody. And he said that at the beginning of the year. He's like, we've got 13 guys in this team we can use, and I can use them at any time. And you've seen that at different points in the year. And you go back to the Indiana game, the foul trouble they had in the first half. He goes to Josh Ogundele, he goes to Riley Mulvey, guys that don't play a lot. And basically he's saying to them, look, just give me a few good minutes. And they did that. And you know, and you've seen that. And just like the other day, Peyton Sanford hadn't played a whole lot in the last two games before that, comes in, gives them about 9 minutes of really good play and does some good things. He knows you're going to need all of those guys at some point during the season. And you look at the bench and you look at what they've been able to do. Tony Perkins had that, you know, his own little 6-0 run against Indiana that gave them the lead that they didn't lose in the second half. Obviously Chris Murray in the game he had. I go back to the Western Illinois game. It was a close game in the first half, and Peyton Sanford had a big, you know, had a big part in this, in the 12-0 run they had in the first half. Those are the guys you're going to need at some point during the year. And he's not, like I said, he's not afraid to lean on any of them at any point during a game. If he needs somebody, he's going to get them in the game and use them. And I think that's a good sign as you get into this, because, I mean, this Big Ten season, when you're playing 20 games, you're going to get guys beat up. You're going to have guys hurt, you know, in during this time here of COVID, when you might have some guys out. You're going to need some guys. And I think he knows that, and he's not afraid to use anybody he's got on that bench.
Yeah, I would agree. And I've been calling for Ogundele to play a little bit more. And I think he's going to against certain teams. Mm-hmm. Guys with posts inside, I think we're going to see Ogundele, because defensively, he's okay. I mean, the offense yep. has got to come, and it will. Big men always take a little bit longer to get the footwork, et cetera, et cetera. But defensively, he can play right now.
Right, and he can play against the big bodies in this league. And, I mean, go back to the Big Ten tournament last year when he puts him in against Kofi Coburn late in the first half of the game against Illinois. And it's like, I mean, so, and I do, and he was making progress early in the year. I mean, you thought that he could kind of be, and then he had that ankle injury there around Christmas, and it took him a little while to get back. And I think that's kind of slowed his progress a little bit. But I think he as this season moves on and he gets some minutes, again, he's not going to be afraid to use him at any point and use him against some of the bigger bodies in this conference.
Well, tomorrow night it's the NIL co-founders game with Jordan Bohannon and Geo Baker. Rutgers is a very dangerous team. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the way they've played here in the last few games, and you know, even at the beginning of the season when they went 5-5 to start out, one of those wins is over Purdue, and a Purdue team that was number one in the nation at the time. So this is a team. Geo Baker's back. He was injured there at the end of November, early December. He's back now, playing well. You know, Ron Hunter Jr. always gives Iowa trouble. You know, this is a tough, and it's a tough place to play, and it always has been. And so for Iowa, if they can go in there tomorrow night and get another win, and then you've got Penn State coming up at home, now you can really start to establish some momentum and start knocking off some of these teams ahead of you and move up in the standings a little bit. Tomorrow night's a key game for them, I think. And again, it's a Rutgers team that has really played well here in the last couple of weeks. Again, and as I said, tough place to play. You know, this would be a good win for them to get tomorrow night.
It would. And Fran, in his news conference, was asked and also addressed the situation about the what could be inequities as far as the Big Ten schedule is concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a home Saturday game coming up this week. The only one of the year, by the way.
And an afternoon game.
And an afternoon game. So make your plans accordingly, Iowa-Penn State. But I think he's got a leg to stand on, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you've got three games on weekends at home, that really hurts your attendance. I mean, they're playing Penn State on Saturday, and it's an all right Penn State team. That game's almost a sellout. And you look at some of the teams they've played this year at home, and they haven't had good crowds. And you know, because they're playing 8 o'clock games on a Thursday night. You know, and so you know when you know those numbers came up today that they only have three games on weekends. That's a big problem, and that's something that affects attendance. And yeah, I do think it's something to be needed. But at the same time, let's face it: TV drives the schedule. TV has they've got slots to fill. These games are nothing but inventory for the Big Ten Network and FS1 and Fox and ESPN and whatever else. So you're just and he said this last week. You know, whatever time it is, they're going to show up and play. But it's just the idea of that you have to show up and play at some very weird times and on some very strange nights.
Can you see this Iowa team in the NCAA tournament, or is that a stretch?
Yeah, I do. I think there's enough wins out there they can get, and they can get into the tournament. I mean, they're probably going to be a 7 or 8 seed if they can win a lot of games here down the stretch. Maybe get a 6, maybe get a 5. You know, who knows? But I mean, this is a team that right now it's 19 in the net, 19 in KenPom, almost in the AP poll. I mean, they were the first one among the others receiving votes. Yeah, I can see them getting there, I would be surprised if they don't make it.
Yeah.
I think this is a really good team, and I think it's a team that's only going to get better. And you've got one of the nation's best players, and so I can see them getting there.
With that being said, and losing Luka Garza, losing Joe Wieskamp, obviously the emergence of Keegan Murray has helped in a big way, no doubt about
right.
that. But
right.
you got to tip your hat to Fran out there for if this team does make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, because, and I said this at the beginning of the year, I said, this was a team that could get to the tournament, but a lot of things would have to go right. And in my mind, a lot of things have gone right for them, and it starts with Keegan Murray. I mean, we knew he was going to be good. We didn't know he was going to be this good, And I mean, he just takes over games and is very hard to defend. And and now you're seeing his brother, start to play well and do things. And you're starting to see Philip Rabracha play well, and which at the beginning of the year he was kind of a question mark. Nobody really knew a lot about him. He's starting to play well. So you're starting to see a lot of guys play well for this team. And you've got the veterans. You've got Jordan Bohannon. You've got Connor McCaffrey. So, I mean, I do think this is a team that is a very good, sum of its parts. And I think you've seen that in the way they've been playing here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
John, you got a pretty good high school team over you there in your neck of the woods. Fort Madison, number one in 3A. Kind of neck and neck with Harlan.
Yeah.
What's that ball club got?
I've seen them play. They've got eight seniors, and these last year they didn't have a senior on the team. And all eight of these guys were juniors, and they were good last year, but they weren't. They just couldn't get over that hump. They would have games where they'd play a really good first half and then really struggle in the third quarter and let some leads get away, and it cost them. Well, now this team's learned from that. And I've seen them play, quite a few times this year. They're really solid, and they've got different guys that step up every night. Dayton Davis is there, is in Miles Deere are their two best players. Miles Deere's a point guard. He can shoot the three. Dayton Davis is a 6'5 kid who can really just, you know, can get you points and can shoot the three. And so, I mean, they're a really deep team, and again, an experienced team. When you've got guys that have been playing together at the varsity level since they're sophomores, it's all kind of come together for them right now. Like I said, I saw them last Saturday, and, I mean, they just really dominated a very young Holy Trinity team, the Catholic school there in Fort Madison. But I've seen them against, you know, bigger, you know, teams that look like them in terms of enrollment, and they've just played very well so far, and they're fun to watch.
Yeah. One question for you, John, on the text line here. What's your opinion about Chris and only 11 minutes against Minnesota?
Yeah, I think some of that was just the function of the game, and sometimes, you know, just sometimes that happens, and you see guys that just, you know, don't get a lot of minutes, and you know, maybe there was something there that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't maybe a good matchup, or he was struggling a little bit. And again, that's Fran's doing. You know, if he sees somebody isn't playing well, that, you know, he's not going to play, and he's going to roll with a lineup that's playing well. And down the stretch, he had some of those guys in there that he thought were best for that situation, and it worked out for them. I thought, you know, yeah, again, he probably could have played a few more minutes, but, you know, sometimes that's just the function of the game and how it goes. And, you know, I think, you know, tomorrow night he could play 25 very easily, you know, and I think again, over time, you're going to see his minutes just steadily get more and more as we go on.
True. Since we've been talking, not only has Caitlin Clark won another Player of the Week award, but I think Iowa's women's shot 15 more free throws.
You know, and again, you're starting to see that team surge a little bit now. Now they're getting back into a rhythm. I mean, they've just that their COVID disruption in Thanksgiving really threw them out of rhythm. And then they had another COVID disruption, you know, with other teams, you know, after Christmas. And I think now you're starting to see this team get back and playing the way that we thought they could be playing at the beginning of the year.
Huge game Sunday against Indiana.
Yeah. Yeah, huge. And, I mean, and again, this will be a chance for them to prove, hey, they can get back in this Big Ten race. And this would be a big win for them if they could get it on Sunday. If they play on Sunday, Indiana's got some COVID issues. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, that's a big if. So we'll see. And and hopefully Penn State, I know it's Minnesota, but obviously the game between Minnesota and Penn State is off coming up for tomorrow here. And before we let you go, the big story of the day, of course, your Dodgers have a new general manager, you know.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. And Scott Docterman pointed this out, that the head trainer is a guy from Burlington, which I didn't know, you know, so I'm now going to call this guy and get tickets from him. I just hope they start spring training on time. I think they will. I hope they do. But, you know, I just want to get back to baseball season here. That's my thing. So.
Yeah, me and you and everyone out there.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. Well, keep up the great work, John. Always fun talking with you. Thanks for all the information. And give John a follow on Twitter, and we'll give you that here in a moment. Thanks, John.
Thanks for having me on. Talk to you guys later.
All right. John Bonenkamp joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Go ahead and give him a follow out there. On Twitter, at John Bonenkamp, all one word. Does a tremendous job. We'll take a break, come back, hit a little NFL for you when we return.
It's time to join the club. On select days, if you bet $25 on that week's highlighted sport, Elite Sportsbook will give you an easy $5 free bet back. With a total of $65 up for grabs in January. Plus, new signups can take advantage of their first bet being risk-free up to $500. Download the app today and play your game with Elite Sportsbook. Valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
An extra $3,500? That'd buy a lot of Dr. Pepper. Start driving now for Keurig Dr. Pepper and you can get a $3,500 bonus. Route drivers start at $26.50 and bump to $27.90 after 90 days. Relief drivers start at $24.70. Drive local Monday through Friday so you're home every night with weekends off. Plus 2 weeks paid vacation your first year, 401k, medical, dental, all that stuff. Text KDP Jobs to 63879 for more info or go to KeurigDrPepper.com.
Menards has what you need to keep your home safe. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected from emergencies. Grab a general use fire extinguisher. It lasts up to 12 years, and it adds an extra measure to protect you and your family at home. Save big money on Kidde Home Safety products. Good through January 23rd, right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
3:54, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Mark Ironside joins us coming up tomorrow. Always look forward to talking with Mark, and a lot to talk about in the world of college wrestling. Our friend Mike in Marengo weighing in here, Mark, about the start times. The 8 o'clock tip-offs, does not like those. He is old and he has to get up early to go to work. 41 is not old, Mike. That is not old. Oh, Mark, we're gonna have to reboot you here coming up, as unfortunately Darth Vader has invaded your home once again here at 3:55 as we come your way here on the Gym Class on KGYM, 319-366-1600. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next, and that includes the 5 o'clock hour, which is drive time. It is driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com, and you can stop by one of their locations and buy one of their locations.